is the 22nd of April, 1990, and I would like to record a little bit of our childhood when we were growing up and lived in two rooms and had a large family, but we had lots of fun the summer and in the winter. There was always plenty to do, plenty to play with. Homemade play toys, of course, homemade dolls, but it all was very useful for us. So in 1912, my daddy had a nice workshop where he was making furniture and machinery and wooden shoes, and the bigger boys and girls went to school, and I was not a school age yet, so I played in Daddy's workshop. Sometimes Mama would say, "Oh, Adina, why don't you go and see Daddy and play there for a while?" I must have gotten on her nerves or something. So I went in there, and Daddy was planing with the planer and had lots of shavings and stuff that I fed into the fire and had lots of fun. My daddy was so nice to me always. He just let me stand for half an hour more and watch him work. He never said a word. Just felt like he had company and I enjoyed it. And then in 1913, well, of course, he went to the United States, so I was 7 years old, and since then I didn't have no more a daddy. But I will continue to say a little bit about this. And then when the boys came home and Mary from school, then they had to carry in wood and get the water from the well and fill up the big 50-gallon barrel that we had in the kitchen in the corner. And then they were allowed to go in and do some skiing. And we had a little kind of a sort of a lake on our place right across the street. In the winter time, there was a little water in it and the ice formed. And then the boys went to ski there. Sometimes I wanted to go so bad skiing, and then Mama said, "Well, wait, maybe later on." Then when Mary came in and helped her with, like, peeling potatoes and so on for the evening meal, then I was allowed to go out and play. And that sure was fun. We fell down more than we were skiing, but it was at least fun. The neighbor children came over, and there was always a gang. Everybody had so many children. I don't know why. I had a lot of little girlfriends, especially one girlfriend. Her name was Helen. And she came over all the time. And they came to our well to get some water, but they had to come with the sled and with a couple barrels on because they lived about two blocks further away from us. And she would come in and play with us, and all at once she gets mad. Then she goes home. And then I would say to Mama, "Well, Helen is mad again." "Oh," she said, "she'll be back before nighttime. Pretty soon she's back, or she'll go and play with some other girls." But she was the only one that was naughty like that. And after a while, well, I think that she probably grew up a little. In the fall of the year, when it would rain right after the harvest, and we had our gardens taken in and everything put away for the winter, then it started raining, and the girls would take gunny sacks and put it over their heads, and then they went into the woods. We lived close to a government forest, and our back of our land was touched the forest, so they went in there and they gathered mushrooms. And we had these homemade baskets. My mama would make those baskets with the boys in the winter. And we would carry potatoes in there and all that stuff. And they took these baskets and they went down. And sometimes two baskets to one person. They brought all kinds of nice mushrooms home. And then we'd clean them up in the winter. And oh boy, what a mess that was in the evening. With the floors were all full of mushrooms. And Mama would wash them real nice, and the grown older girls would help. And then she built a fire in them, big oven where we would bake the bread. And she got it real nice and warm, and she cleaned it out, took the ashes all out, and then they dumped in maybe two baskets full of mushrooms and closed the oven up. And then the next morning, oh boy, they smelled so good. But she did that twice, heat the oven up, and then they were just ready, put them in big gunny sacks and hang them in our attic. And then in the winter time, Mama would cook a mushroom soup, or else she'd cook them up and fry them in a pan, and they'd be just like fresh mushrooms. So that was a big treat for us girls. And then in the spring of the year, we went to pick all kinds of fruit in there. There were blueberries and there were strawberries. Not too many blueberries, but especially strawberries. So we go Saturday or Sunday afternoon or in the morning. And I could never go too much because I had to watch the cows. But the others went. Once in a while, Mary would change me off and I could go. So we, and there was this Lone Ranger. He was watching, and he'd come around riding on a horse, and when we had our buckets half full or whatever we had there, he took it all away from us. And now he says, you can pick as much as you possibly can carry home. But then the best berries were already picked up. And that was naughty of that man. But of course he was hired to watch the forest, so. But we got lots of strawberries that we sometimes Mama cooked them down a little bit for jam. And then we went sometimes Sunday afternoon to the, when the strawberry season was over in the forest, and a whole mess of young kids, and we would sing songs and pick sour grass, bring it home for Mama, cook soup, and pick flowers, great big hands full of flowers. Boy, we had beautiful wild flowers in the forest. And then once in a while, the older girls would take a gunny sack along and pick some grass for the cows, whole gunny sack full, and bring it home. And that was a treat for the cows. So that was our childhood. Each day of the year, there was always some excitement. And we lived right by the highway, like I had said on many tapes, the highway going from one big city to the next was dividing our land, was right straight through in the middle. So whenever it was a car coming, automobile, and we would listen, and boy, those at that time, they sure made some noise. They must not have had any mufflers or something. And they would come flying by there, and it was smelling so good from that exhaust. And one time, a car was out of water, so they backed up to our well, and my oldest sister, Millie, was home. She wasn't married yet. And the man filled the car with water, and then he said, would you like to have a ride? I'll give you a ride, and I'll bring you back. And she says, no, she was afraid. But and I ran into Mama, and I said, Mama, that car can even go backwards, can back up. It was all such an exciting time for us, and this was already in end of 13, I think. And so we had such a good summer. Then the cherries came, and all kinds of apples and the pears. And we had a Russian family. They came every summer and bought one cherry tree. And then I don't know how much they gave Mama for it. And this one certain man, he had a wooden leg. And they would crawl up on the tree and pick all the cherries that were on the tree. And then that was whatever Mama got for it. And this man with the wooden leg, we could not figure out how he could crawl on those trees. And he picked more cherries than anybody. And came down, and they never broke any limbs. Were very nice. Next summer they came back again. Very nice family. The Russian people are very nice and friendly. Only the government was so rotten, made that war and all that. But And so I will continue with my little experience that we had in the summertime. In the summertime, we would make little tiny holes in the ground, and then maybe four or five other children would come in, and then we'd catch some kind of a bugs, and we put those poor little guys in the little scratched out hole and close it up for the see what the morning will bring. And sometimes one or so was dead, the others, they, when we opened it, they flew out. But Mama would never let us torture any animals. One neighbor boy, one time he tore the butterfly's wings off and so on, and Mama said, if you can't play nice and leave those poor animals without hurting them, then you better go home, you can't play here, she said. And so he just listened to her and stopped it, but he wasn't trained any different from home. But we were never allowed to torture animals. If there was one animal that had to be destroyed, there was no gun to be shot or so. Then the boys gave it one whack with the club over the head and it was gone. But never any torturing. So summers went by too fast. One time in a Sunday afternoon, the boys spotted on our empty field a big bumblebee, and they had a nest in the ground, and they scratched in there and made the hole bigger and bigger, and pretty soon that big bee came out and it was going to defend itself. And so the boys, they knew just how to fight it off, but it got a hold of me and it stung me in my right eye, right above the eye, and oh, it was so painful. I ran home to Mama, and by then the eye was already half shut from swelling, and she says, don't you come home crying on my shoulder. She says, you go help yourself. And I wasn't even allowed to cry on her shoulders, and she never washed my eye or anything. But by night time it was so swollen that I did wash it myself. But it was all in fun. We took it as it came, and so we had a lot of good fruit to eat in the summertime. And in the wintertime, we had lots of dry fruit that we cooked up. And it was always good to get a treat from just a plain, ordinary cooking. One time, Albert and Dan made us a wagon. They had some little blocks that Daddy had cut off, these round ones from a tree, and they made us a nice little wagon, and then we put Sam in and our little baby sister Lydia, and boy did we, and other children, and did we romp around and made the most noise that ever could be made with that old wagon. But we were fortunate, the boys did make us all these good things, and Albert and Dan were pretty handy. They had little knives, pocket knives, and when we would go to the woods, they would cut off nice little hazelnut sticks, and maybe 8 inches long or so, and they would pound on it and make and pull the bark right off, and then they cut holes in it and stuff something on top and on the bottom. And that made the nicest whistle. We could just play all kinds of music on. And Albert had a little mouth organ, so we made all kinds of music in the forest when we went out Sunday. The Sundays were just too short. There was not enough time to do anything. And during the week, we had to work. We could never go anyplace. And we could not, after supper, there was always so much to do. Daddy was not at home, and so we all had to chip in and do help along, and so other children came to our place because we had to work, carry the wood in, split the wood, and get the water in, and get the food for the pigs, and so on and so forth. But it was really a nice time, and to have a mama and brothers and sisters, that was heaven on earth. But when Mama left, then the life was miserable and no home, then it was not so nice. So I keep on saying what I want to say. on this tape, and maybe I'll run into something real nice. One time my brother-in-law came home from the market, and he had passed right our place. He drove to the market on his bicycle to get nails and different kinds of stuff, because he had bought the business from my daddy on that place where I was born, near a Russian village. And so he came by, and he had a little basket on his bicycle, and he had a little phonograph in there. It was just a small one, and it had a horn on it, and he brought that in the house and cranked it up, and he put a record on, and it was about a Russian record, and it was about some chickens and some roosters was crowing, and oh, we children couldn't get over it. Where is that noise coming from? Who is speaking in there? And we just couldn't imagine that something like that, somebody could talk through that big horn there and give all kinds of music. And then he just stayed a little bit before dark and drove on home and took his phonograph. And then shortly after that, well, they got married and she went to live with him. And one time he came past our house again, and he stopped there, and he brought some Polish sausage for his girlfriend. And he had made her a little tiny chest and brought it over, so she said, with a little lock on it, so she could hide all the little goodies that he would bring her once in a while. And after he was gone, she looked at that little, maybe a pound of Polish sausage or so, and she told Mama, I can't eat a bite of this, but I have to divide it with all of you. She says, I think Dan ought to take his little chest home, because I can't hide stuff like that. So she took and cut that whole little sausage up and divided it with all of us, and each got a bite. She was just the nicest sister, and so helpful and kind. She and Mama were just as close could be. And then my sister Martha. But Martha, she went to America, I think, when she was 17 or so, maybe 18. And Millie was older than Martha. But with Tilly, Mama was never too close with Tilly. And so I don't know, it takes certain kind of a girl, I guess, to be real close to her mother. And now I'll see. Then my mama, the only thing I didn't like about the summers down there was the awfully big lightning and thunderstorms that came. And it was just raining so hard at times. And then when the rain was over, and we had a dirt road through the village, and then we would go out and take a little container and gather up the great big worms that would rain worms, and just bring them right down on the street. And so we'd pick up some and take them down, feed them to the chickens. And those lightnings, they were just striking. One time it struck a barn close by it that burned all down, and there was nobody that could pour enough water on to save a big barn. So I didn't never like the thunderstorms. I don't know. I just was afraid of them. Like I said in the beginning, this is just silly stuff as us kids did when Mama wasn't home. One time it was in the winter time. So Albert and Dan, she went to the market. Mama went to the market to get some kerosene and stuff. And it was 9 miles to walk one way and back, and cold and all this. She had to go, and she told Albert what to do, and especially watch for fire, because we had a straw roof on our house. And so when she was gone, Albert made some kind of a little loop, and he put it out on the outside. This was out of yarn, and then he put a little seed in there, and all at once a little sparrow would go and get himself caught in there. And so Albert go out, and that was our chicken now. We played house. So he caught two or three little birds, And then he chopped the little heads off like we were used to doing with the chickens. And then us girls, we cleaned them, Mary and I, and we just dressed them up real nice. We put them in a little frying pan, we put them on the top of the coals, and we fried them. And I bet you they were just about all raw, but we ate them. It was a chicken dinner we had. And in the summertime, sometimes the boys would go to the woods, and then there were so many birds, and there were birds' nests all over, so the boys would go up and get those nice bird eggs, and they'd come home, and they put them in a pot. Mama didn't know about it, so they cooked them. And then we opened them up, and broke them open after they were cooked. And those that didn't have a little chick in there, we ate, but those that had a little chicken, well, the cat or the dog got it. So all funny things that the kids have invented to do that's not supposed to be done. But after all, we were good kids. We minded our mommy and daddy, and so the fun came in just automatically. It wasn't planned out. So we had in the cherry season, or even in the pear season, when Mama baked bread, then we always had to go and pick buckets and buckets full of cherries. And then when she took the bread out, she dumped the cherries in the oven, closed them up, and then they got real dried out. She did that twice, so they get good and dry, and then in a gunny second, we hang them in the attic for the winter, and also pears and other fruit, apples. And sometimes the cherries were hard to find already. Then we just used them for eating. And if there was one cherry left yet on way out on the end of the limb, I had to get it. That was just the most precious thing. And Mama said sometimes, "Dina, you're going to fall down. You're going to break something." "No, no, I have to go." And I never did fell down. And I just got the last cherry where nobody wanted to go and take a chance, but I took it and I never fell. And when it came to running, we would play hide-and-go-seek and we would run. I was always the fastest running from all our kids there. I was little, but oh, and fat, but I could run like lightning. But after I came back when I was 13 and so on, I was sick then. I couldn't run no more. I would choke off. And so my fun was gone. But I outran all the kids. I don't know, the little exercise that I could get was from running, otherwise it's just eating and work. After my sister Millie was married and she lived in the place that where I was born, her husband Dan had bought that workshop from Daddy. And so one Christmas we were walked over, was Dan, Mary, and Albert stayed home, and I stayed there then that winter, but Dan and Mary walked back home. And then in the evening, we had a big Christmas tree, and there was homemade decorations like apples and stuff made out of papers and candles, hang candles on the trees. And one candle fell over and it started burning the tree. And oh boy, did it really burn. And I never saw a man work so hard to get that fire out than my brother-in-law. And it was fun. One of his brothers came down out of the village and he helped him. We had so much fun. Then I stayed. They all stayed overnight, but in the morning they went home. Mama and I stayed there that winter, and then the next summer Mama came and got me because I needed to come home and help at home. And I liked it very much at my sister's house, because there were not so many children to play with, but at least I had better food and all this and that. So in all my childhood life was a very rich, rewarding. I was hardly ever sick, only I had such a bad legs and a fall of the year when I had to walk on that ground where they had cut the wheat off, and there was these Russian thistles, and when they chopped them off, and then the bottom was sticking out, and I'd step on it, and oh, I just tore my little toes off halfway. And there was never any sympathy or medicine or anything. Oh, just wash your feet and that'll heal up. And then the next day I couldn't hardly step on them. They were so painful. But otherwise I had a very rich, rewarding childhood. I just wish Daddy could have taken us all to go to America at one time, or else he would have stayed there and we would have had a better life. As long as he worked and took the machinery to the market every 2 weeks and sold it, and then he bought himself new lumber and new nails and all that, and if somebody in the neighborhood would die, he'd make the casket, and we kids get the leftover stuff like cloth and all that stuff that he had to put in the casket. And then he got money for that, so we was not so poor, but when Daddy went away, then we were very, very poor. We hardly ever had any kerosene to burn, but just one little tiny lamp that was half turned down, and mostly the fire, the light from the fire, and that had to burn till we went to bed, because we would freeze to death. The barrel of water would be frozen on top in the morning, and the mama had to chop it open to get some water for morning meal. And sometimes my mama would go to see her sister that was in a second village from us. It was quite a, maybe 2 miles. And once in a while, one of us kids could go along, and they were pretty wealthy, better off than we were. They had about 3 or 4 cows to milk, where we only had 2, and one probably didn't give too much milk, and so it was a new cow. And then my aunt would make cottage cheese, and so on. She sent it home with Mama, and they had always good stuff to eat. And boy, we would just love to go over to Auntie Petsnik. And when Mama would come, and she would go alone, she wouldn't take us. And then we would watch when she would come, and she was still away about, maybe a block and a half, and we see her come, then we would just run all we could to meet her. What have you brought now? Well, I brought a big cheese, like a pie plate, real pressed hard cheese. And oh boy, did that taste good. And then after the war, when we came back, their place was not burned down, so they had, right away they bought horses and cows and start working, farming again. And then I was going to confirmation, rehearsing and so on. And then every Sunday, it was about maybe 3 Sundays that I would walk over to my auntie, and was in the same village, and get that good food. They had soup and potatoes and all goody stuff to eat. And when we was confirmed, it was in a big barn. They didn't have a church, and it was cleaned out. And so it was a lot of young people were confirmed. And and then some were, like my cousin, she was married in that barn. And lots of good things to eat, but I was not allowed to go to the wedding. I had to go back home. That was sad, but that's the way my brother Albert wanted it, and I had to mind. So we always had so much fun with my cousins, and played together. And when we came to this country, then one of the boys, but named Henry, he said, I'm going to go to America and be with the Kublik boys again. And so he came to Canada and to visit his uncle, and then from Canada he walked over the line, and he stayed. He never went back. But we were just always so close with all of our people. I think this side is just about full, and I haven't said much yet. So it's only just...